I was raised to believe that the Bible defines good and evil for us within its pages. But when we stop and examine this idea using the Bible, we discover something else. In the Garden of Eden, there were two trees, a tree that would bring life to all who ate of its fruit, and a tree that brought death. And it was the second tree, the tree that resulted in death, that contained the knowledge of good and evil. Have we been deceived by the serpent who is trying to get us to eat of the second tree? Is the Bible really trying to define good and evil for us? Let's take a step back. Let's run an experiment. Instead of seeking to define good and evil, let's instead ask the question of the trees. Let's attempt to define life and death, but to do so, we must first seek it out. So join us as we Derech Chayim, as we seek life. Hey everybody, welcome to the Derech Chayim Experiment, the show where, well, I'm back. Yeah, I have taken a one-year hiatus from releasing new podcast episodes to focus on other ventures. I have continued to release new content on the YouTube channel, including remasters of these podcast episodes that include text notes on the screen to help you assist you with studying alongside me. The last time that we released episodes in the podcast in this platform, my wife Rebecca and I, we had taken a break from the usual teaching format that had been used for the Torah. And I know that when we left off with Job, we had promised that we would begin the book of Proverbs together in that format. And I am sorry to have let you down. As Rebecca and I looked through that book and talked over a way to do it justice, we simply could not find a way that satisfied either of us. Or frankly, that would satisfy you, the listener. And this is one of the reasons that it's been so long since our last episode. We decided rather than put out content that we were not happy with, we would return to the teaching cycle that had been the launch of this podcast. You see, this podcast, it's not just something that I enjoy doing, and it's not just somewhere to get my ideas into the public. This podcast has, since the beginning, been a place where the people that attend the church that I teach at can turn to find out what has been taught on various topics and passages. If others come along for the journey, fantastic. We'd love to have you. But this is primarily for them. And this is especially important when we meet those who are new to Torah observance or the Pronomian Walk and who have never been through a full Torah cycle. This podcast was meant to be a resource for them to turn to for those teachings, since in our local community, we've moved on in the Bible from the Torah in our weekly teaching. In fact, that's what this Season 3 of the Derech Chayim Experiment is going to be. And so first up, we're going to go into the book of Joshua. We are going to spend 21 weeks going through this book of Joshua before moving on to other books. So without further ado, let's turn to the book of Joshua and begin our exploration of this book and what it holds for modern believers. So to first off, let's do a profile of the man Joshua. Let's ask the question, who is Joshua? Well, the first mention of Joshua is in Exodus 18 in the battle with the Amalekites, when Moses raises his arms above his head and the Amalekites attack the back of the Israeli column. Joshua takes men into battle, and as long as Moses' hands are raised, he is winning. The second mention of Joshua is with Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 24, when Moses returns up to the top of the mountain after the covenant was cut with the elders of Israel. Joshua goes partway up the mountain while Moses goes the entire way. The third mention is when they're returning from Mount Sinai, when Joshua asks, is there a battle in the camp at the incident with the golden calf? The fourth and the last mention of Joshua in the book of Exodus is in Moses' tent in Exodus 34. When Moses would go in and speak with God before the tabernacle was built, it says that Joshua did not leave the tent. Now, in Numbers 11, Joshua is first found counseling Moses to stop the two men who are in the camp, and not with the elders, from prophesying when the Spirit of God fell upon them. Then a few chapters later, in Numbers 13 and 14, he is mentioned as the spy for the tribe of Ephraim, and he has his name changed here in the story from Hoshea, which means simply salvation, to Yehoshua, which means Adonai, or Hashem, is salvation. And then at the end of Numbers, Joshua is called out as the future leader of Israel after Moses passes, and he is to be the one who leads Israel into the land. Now in Deuteronomy, all nine mentions of Joshua are with this in mind. Joshua is to succeed as the leader of Israel. So who is Joshua as a person? These are the mentions that we get, but from that, can we build a profile of who he is as a man? Well, Joshua is a man who is overshadowed by his predecessor. The simple fact is that great men can be overlooked simply because those who came before them were that much greater. Who remembers the president after Lincoln or the prime minister after Churchill? Does that mean they weren't great people? No, it just means the men that came before were greater and found themselves in a time of historical reckoning. Now, it's easy to overlook and forget these subsequent men as they're overshadowed by the figure that precedes them. And often the same thing tends to happen with Joshua. So Joshua, as we read through his stories, we find that he is a disciple of his master. He is a teachable man. He is a servant of the mediator. He's a man of war. The first mention of him in the Bible is as a battle commander. And then he has his travels and his report as a spy. His initial response when coming down from Mount Sinai, is there a battle in the camp? They all reveal that Joshua was acquainted with warfare, and it was often on his mind. In this role as a military commander, we find in Joshua a man who seems to be without fear, both in the past and in the book we're about to read. But this may not be the case. A major part of Moses' role when appointing Joshua as leader was to give courage to Joshua. Even Joshua's courage could have failed. This is why Deuteronomy 31, Moses calls on Joshua to be strong and courageous, a charge which Joshua then passes on to the people in this chapter. Joshua is a man of authority. When we read of the transition of power in Numbers 27:15-20, God explicitly states that Joshua had the spirit and that he was to be given the authority of Moses. Joshua is a man of wisdom. Later in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9, it states that Joshua was filled with wisdom because Moses had laid his hands upon him. Joshua is a man of faith. In the events with the spying on the land of Canaan, we find in Joshua a solid faith in God's ability to win the war for them. It is this faith that God's promise will be fulfilled that gains Joshua entry into the land of Canaan. It is this faith that will be tested and refined throughout this book that bears his name. Joshua is a man who is close to God. Other than Moses, Joshua was the only person in Israel to spend any extended amount of time in God's presence. Joshua was on Mount Sinai with Moses. Joshua was in Moses' tent when God would visit. Joshua saw and overheard things that we can only wonder about. And so when we turn to the book that bears this man's name, we find that it tells a story. Now, we often think of this book as a book of the conquest of Canaan, and it does contain that in a large part, but more than that, it tells the story of salvation. In the Hebrew tradition, Joshua is grouped in with the prophets, and as such, we should expect that it can tell us something about God and his plans for the world. And when we look at it closely, we find that it contains a path of faith that we can follow in our own lives. And here in chapter 1, it begins with faith. Be strong and courageous. Trust in God and in his plan and power. Align yourself to him and you will be victorious. Then comes repentance. We find Rahab, the harlot who heard the good news and had faith in God, is called to repentance and welcomed into Israel and honored as a member of the community. Then comes a crossing. The people pick up the ark. They walk through the water on dry ground, crossing from the wilderness into the promise. Then comes the seeds of a testimony. Before the battle even begins, a memorial of remembrance is created from this event of crossing for everyone to look back on. Stones are taken from the center of the river and stacked on the shore as a reminder. Then comes sanctification, obedience, and worship. On the hostile side of the river, the people injure themselves and make themselves vulnerable for the sake of obeying God's command and separating themselves from the nation that they are about to enter. And Joshua meets God's warrior and worships at his feet. And the story continues on from there into battle and warfare, great victories, crushing defeats, God's miraculous hand of salvation, and man's failure to live up to his call. And it ends with inheritance. This book is truly a book of prophecy as it tells us of a journey that all who follow God must take and gives us insight into how to navigate the warfare that we face on a daily basis as we fight for the promise of God to be realized in the world. But before we get to all of that, Joshua 1 is the intro to the book. So let's read Joshua 1, and then let's come back and discuss what it contains for us today. Joshua chapter 1. And it came to be after the death of Moses, the servant of Adonai, that Adonai spoke to Yehoshua the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, pass over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given you, as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun is your border. No man is going to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I am with you. I do not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you are to let this people inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous to guard to do according to all the Torah which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it right or left, so that you act wisely wherever you go. Do not let this book of the Torah depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you guard to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous and act wisely. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, nor be discouraged, for Adonai your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the midst of the camp, and command the people, saying, Prepare food for yourselves, for within 3 days you are passing over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which Adonai your God is giving you to possess. And Joshua spoke to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, saying, Remember the word which Moses, servant of Adonai, commanded you, saying, Adonai your God is giving you rest, and he shall give you this land. Let your wives, your little ones, and your livestock stay in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brothers in fives, all your brave fighters, and shall help them, until Adonai has given your brothers rest as unto you. So shall they also take possession of the land which Adonai your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession, and shall possess that which Moses the servant of Adonai gave you beyond the Jordan towards the rising of the sun. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that you have commanded us we do, and wherever you send us we go. According to all that we obeyed Moses, so we obey you. Only let Adonai your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your mouth and does not obey your words in that you command him is put to death. Only be strong and courageous. The book of Joshua opens with a speech from God, and this speech takes up most of the first chapter. In this speech, there are several things that are promised, as well as some things that are commanded that are of interest to all who are reading this book, because they will play a larger role in the chapters that follow. Verse 3 is especially significant. Every place that your foot touches, I will give to you. Up to this point, God has said that he was giving the people the land of Canaan, but here we find that Israel has to be involved in the process. They have to actually walk into the land and occupy the space in the land before this transaction will be complete. Now, for an army, this is a significant request because this is enemy land and it's occupied by enemy soldiers. Battles must be fought in order for the people to occupy. The land is not there until they occupy. And when we consider this, we discover that God did hint at this previously in the Torah. Exodus 23 verse 29 says, I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. I will not drive them out from before you. You must face them before they fall. The land, it's Israel's to take, but they have to take it. It will not simply fall into their lap. And we will find that this promise plays a large part in the fact that Israel does not occupy the entirety of the land of Canaan at the end of the conquest. The next thing of interest in God's pronouncement to Joshua is the second half of the speech, specifically verses 6 through 9. Now, many believers have memorized Joshua 1:9. I was taught this verse early on. I can still say it by memory in the King's English. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, what's lost when quoting this verse in isolation is the reasoning for why Joshua will be able to have such courage in the face of the enemy. And we find the connection to this in the term, wherever you go. In verse 9, God promises to be with Joshua wherever he goes. But in verse 7, there is something specific that Joshua is supposed to do wherever he goes. and there's something specific that's connected to being strong and courageous. Joshua 1:7, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. The success wherever Joshua goes is directly connected to obedience to God's commands. And the strength and the courage that God commands is also directly connected to obedience to the Torah. In both parts of the speech, God makes promises of what he is going to do, but in both cases, he makes it clear that there is something that Israel has to also do in order to receive the promise that's been made. In verses 1 through 5, Israel has to occupy the land before God would turn it over to them. In verses 6 through 9, Israel has to be obedient before they will find success in their battles. Now, this presents a pattern that we're going to find throughout the Bible. God gives promises to humans, but then there is an expectation of human response to God's commands before his promises will be delivered. And there are several times in the book of Joshua where we're going to see this pattern reflected in both examples of obedience and examples of disobedience. Now, after this speech, Joshua goes to the people and he gives them a singular command: prepare to move in 3 days. Then Joshua goes specifically to the 2.5 tribes that had already received their portion. Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh had already inherited Gilead, but they had made a promise when they were allowed to settle there. And so Joshua reminds these 2.5 tribes of that promise. You were allowed to occupy the land east of the Jordan because you swore to help your brothers in the fight. And in response, these men then swear fealty to Joshua to the point where they agree to the death penalty for anyone who disobeys a command of Joshua. Now, this chapter is great because it highlights some of the main ideas involved in the concept of faith. There is the promise given by God. These statements represent 3 aspects of God's promise to us. I have given you this land. Our future hope of a world at peace under his reign. Nothing will be able to stand before you. The power and authority over all that would stand in our way as we work for his kingdom. I will never leave you nor forsake you. God's presence as we move forward into the promises that he has given. Be strong and courageous. Living for the kingdom of God will bring with it causes to fear. Don't. Continue to press forward into his kingdom, into spreading his kingdom. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Be sure to do all that it says. We are expected to obey God's commands. And at the end of God's speech, he repeats several of these points. Be strong and courageous. Walk in strength and power. Do not let fear stop you or control you. Why? Because he's with us wherever we go, whatever we do. These statements represent the transition from death to life, and this transition is represented in the geography of the book. If we actually look at a geographical map, Israel is currently on the east side of the Jordan, the plains of Moab near Shittim. And now if we look at it, this location is very near to the Dead Sea. As Israel pushes into the land, they press towards Gibeon and conquering Ai near Bethel on the way. And if we look at this geographically, Israel travels from the place of death at the Dead Sea at 1,310 feet below sea level up to Gibeon just north of Jerusalem at 2,556 feet above sea level. And the distance between these 2 points is only around 20 miles. That's 3,900 feet in elevation from the lowest depths of the earth to the highest point between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean Sea. From the place of death to a place of life. And this chapter is where it begins. And the response of the people of Israel to this charge should be our response, whether we feel that we have received our promise yet or not. It's our job to ready ourselves for the battle ahead, the battle for the world and the souls of men, to pick up our armor as listed in Ephesians 6 and to prepare to fight for the land. Has God given us his promise of his kingdom? Yes. Does that mean that we can just sit back and allow it to be dropped in our lap? No. Too often we sit back and we simply say, God will do it. God will make it happen. He has promised to give us his kingdom. and the old church idea of I can add nothing to the promises or the power of God takes over and we end up doing nothing. We sit back, we live our lives and expect God to simply do it all and we will reap the rewards. But this is not what the Bible describes for us. The Bible says we have been given power. We have been given authority. We have been warned that we are at war for creation. We have been armed. We have been given the same spirit that made Joshua capable. And we have been given the charge to act. Now the job falls to us. It is our job to take the promises of God and the hope of his kingdom and to then go into the world and to fight for it. To do so, we must act in the qualities of Joshua, the disciple. We must be teachable and act in service to others. The warrior, acting in authority, strength, and wisdom and courage. Relationship with God. We have to have faith and we need to know how to hear the voice of God so that we can reach the last one, which is obedience. To do our best to keep all that God has commanded us. But this is all limited to us, to me, to the individual. And that's where the end of this chapter comes in. The people of Israel, they turn to each other and they encourage each other, edifying each other and spurring on towards obedience and shunning rebellion. We can fight the enemy, but we can't do it alone. It takes a community. It takes a nation. It takes many voices lifted in unison and pressing each other onward into the fight. And at the end of the fight is life. So Derech Chai, seek life in all that you do. Shalom. Thank you for tuning in to Derech Chai. If this content has blessed you and you would like more, please consider subscribing, liking, commenting, and sharing with others. To find out more about what we do and to support this ministry, head over to seeklifesc.com. That's seeklifesc.com. We'll see you again next time as we Derech Chai, as we seek life. Shalom.